Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Right, changing subjects completely to recycling organs, I suppose, to recycling all sorts of other things. It's got to be a trend, right? Bronwyn Williams, she's a futurist, an economist, business trend analyst, and a partner at Flux, a trend, talking to us about the thrift stores. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So I would have thought that thrift stores just make things accessible to people. Why is there a problem with that?
Well, we do live in the sort of times when everyone is looking for problems. Let's be honest there.
Okay,
I think that there's a couple of issues to this whole sort of secondhand clothing market.
Mm-hmm.
The one I'm more familiar with is that the secondhand clothing market, the very fact that it exists and that there is a demand for secondhand clothing is a sort of incentive to continue conspicuous consumption. Because as a consumer, you can purchase mm-hmm. your fast fashion and you can, instead of feeling guilty about throwing it away, you can feel virtuous about donating it to someone who is less fortunate.
Right.
Now, the challenge there is a very real challenge in that most of those clothes that you donate actually end up in landfills quite often in Africa or in India or in the more poor parts of Asia, which is something that we're aware of. I mean, there's literally African governments now that are telling Westerners not to send them clothes. We don't need more of your cheap polyester t-shirts that you bought at H&M on a whim. You know, that's not something that's particularly useful. But the other issue that's emerging now is perhaps one more of a privilege. Only privileged people could actually find and take umbrage of this sort of thing.
Bring me a wall so I can smash my head against it.
There's a sort of gentrification of the secondhand goods market, which I think counters the other narrative. So if you do buy into the other narrative, the one that is very well documented, the fact that there is too much secondhand clothes going out there, that there's actually, there's more secondhand clothes that are ending up in dumps than there are actually a need for secondhand clothes for impoverished people to literally be clothed. And I think that that's definitely the macro issue here. But now op-eds in more sort of privileged parts of the world, particularly in the US, where issues of social justice are, of course, discussed on a daily basis, and we're always trying to find ways to stay above the politically correct line. The issue that's now being discussed is this concept of sort of the unfair gentrification of the secondhand goods market, in that privileged people are outpricing poorer people from being able to purchase nice secondhand clothes, not the junk from the fast fashion chains, but the more sort of nice stuff, in that, of course, wealthier people have bigger budgets. They can go and cherry pick from all the sort of the Goodwill type stores, of Salvation Army stores, of SPCA stores. They can pick all the good stuff up and then, of course, either wear it for themselves or unsell it to other privileged people, effectively outpricing poorer people from being able to find those nice gems and those little bargains from the nice little stores, which I think is a different tier of an issue. It's a, for me, it definitely pales in significance compared to the much bigger issue that we have too much.
I was going to say, because really what that is doing is really trying to undermine the very notion of how capitalism works. If I can afford to buy something of better quality that I like, even if it's just because it's a reflection of my status, then I'm able to do that. You know, that's just the reality of how the world works. Why should the secondhand clothing industry work any differently to the first-hand clothing industry? So I think we have to put that aside because it's absolute rubbish. Not in truth. It's just drivel.
Everyone's always looking for a reason to sort of point blame other people. And of course we all have our own issues with influencers. And there is, of course, a bit of a sort of chip on most of our shoulders that why should some 14-year-old girl in like Wisconsin have like millions of dollars of income just because she's pretty and has a nice Instagram feed? But that's just good old human envy, right?
Exactly.
And we need to get over that. I mean, good for her if she's able to make a success of whatever assets she has at her disposal.
So let's put,
and if she's 100% personable and pleasant, let her go ahead and do it.
And if you want to go to Louis Vuitton and spend your 15,000 or 20,000 rand on an entry-level handbag, cool. That's up to you. It's your choice. I don't think that is something that, that's just trying to redesign the way in which all of us function, because we are are about status, and we are about aspirational connection and trying to portray ourselves as fitting into a certain area. But that aside, let's talk about the whole landfill thing. I mean, I've got a daughter who refuses to allow us, I mean, we have to do it in secret because they're very precocious and vocal at that age, refuses to allow us to buy from some of the cheaper stores, let's say in China, where you get incredible fashion value for your money, for your spend. She claims for this exact reason that it's all rubbish and it's going to land up in.
And also the supply, the ethics of the supply chain in terms of the slave labor rumors.
When I said to her, no polyester.
I mean, there's many big issues.
Exactly.
There.
They're not treating the polyester badly. No one's being cruel to the polyester. They're not farming polyesters in unfair conditions, but she doesn't buy into that. So, but how valid is this as a concern?
It really is a concern. The amount of wastage that comes from the fashion industry is incredible. And it's on the production side and in the disposal side. I mean, these garments, many of them are made with petro-based products. They don't exactly disintegrate quickly, and there's not much that we can do with them. So they end up literally taking up space in landfills. They're basically plastics at the end of the day. So there are very valid concerns of that, and we are consuming just so much more because we don't think about it because it is so cheap. So this is like the sort of the pro and the con of capitalism, right? Capitalism is great at getting us what we want for a really cheap price, but there are a lot of externalities that aren't necessarily accounted for. And unfortunately, in the more sort of privileged Western markets, and I do include South Africa among this, because even though we are not a particularly rich country, we are richer than a lot of our neighboring markets, we end up sort of pushing these problems out of sight, out of mind, and they end up being somebody else's problem to deal with our consumption, and yet we still cover ourselves in a veneer of virtue for saying that, oh no, we're donating to the poor, right? You know, we're recycling. And there's a lot of other hidden issues there too. Even if you look at the businesses that are trying to do good, like the Rent the Runway and the sort of the sharing business models where it says that, you know, instead of us purchasing clothes, then we get tired of them, throwing them away or donating them where they're going to end up in a landfill anyway, let's try share our garments, right? So that I can purchase it on a rental basis. But there's a lot of eco issues and sustainability issues that come in there too, in that when you are buying into these rental type systems, all those goods need to be cleaned, and they have to be sort of dry cleaned and professionally cleaned, which uses lots of chemicals too. And it actually ends up, you know, creating a lot of wastage every time that those garments change hands too. So we do need to think a bit more carefully about sustainability, which brings us back to the question of the sort of virtue ethics of, you know, wealthy young women picking through thrift stores to find things that make them feel cute and popular online. And in that regard, if they are delaying the inevitability of those garments ending up in landfills, they're probably actually doing us a service, even as they are driving up prices. And I think driving up prices in fashion is probably a good capitalist solution to the sustainability issues. We do need to drive up prices so that we are more considerate about the total cost of the things that we're buying. Because at the moment we're purchasing, the price that's on the sticker of the garments that we have is really just the price of production, but it's not the full cost that that garment has to society. And that's what we're starting to see. So I actually think that they're probably doing us a favor in terms of sustainability, asking us to consider a bit more carefully about what we're going to be purchasing. So pushing up prices in fashion is probably a good thing.
Not a bad thing at all.
Irritate people listening to this.
I'm sure, but that's my job. Isn't it of value that we're starting to shift away from saying, well, I would never buy somebody else's used garment, to saying, well, you know what, let's not just throw things away, and let's rather see if we can find something, even though it's been worn, even though it's secondhand, or even though it is last year's fashion, I'll find a way to utilize it. Isn't that a positive?
Absolutely. It's definitely, as long as we can delay things ending up in a sort of a one-way sort of landfill somewhere, then that's better for us. But we also need to be producing less stuff, which means that then we need to change our demand for the pipelines, right? So it's both the sort of the mouth and the source need to be addressed if we are going to be more sustainable. But ideally, you know, buy things that you like and buy things that are of decent quality. And if they can last through many generations and move through many thrift stores, so much the better for you, right? But we're seeing a lot of these moves through society. Of course, there is a subtext there too, that this is also a privileged conversation that we have in that buying quality, much like the famous Terry Pratchett boots analogy, which I love to bring up at every opportunity that I can shoehorn it into, pardon my terrible puns, is this idea that poorer people can only afford fast fashion because it is so cheap, as we have discussed, right? And it's only richer people that have the choice to choose whether to buy more sustainable, more natural fibers, more quality items it will last longer. And the Terry Pratchett boots analogy, this is a character in his famous Discworld stories. He's a policeman who ruminates as he walks across the street that he has wet feet because he has to buy cheap boots because he can't afford real leather ones. Right. And he reckons that he buys, 100 pairs of boots over the course of his life, or whatever number he comes up with, and he still has wet feet because he can only ever afford to place cheap cardboard boots with more cheap cardboard boots. Mm. Whereas a wealthier person would buy one pair of good quality leather boots and pass it on to their grandchildren.
Amazing.
And even though it costs more up front, they would have actually spent less money over the course of their lives just by being in a privileged enough position to purchase something of quality right at the start. I think that's something for us to think about.
Absolutely.
And how, when it comes to sustainability and fashion, it really is a sort of a responsibility of people that can afford to choose to actually think more carefully and actually think that it's going to be not just good for them in terms of their style, because of course vintage is hugely in fashion at the moment, but also in terms of their overall pockets and budgets, that it's a sort of privilege to invest in sustainable things going forward if you can do it, but also not to be judgmental of people who can't afford to do it. There's a whole lot of economic issues that tie into this.
Absolutely. We do need to wrap it up. They're going to throw me out of studio in 1 minute. Bronwyn Williams, futurist, economist, business trend analyst, partner at Flux Trend. Fantastic chatting to you. Always so interesting. We'll no doubt catch you again.